Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, March 30th, 2026, as we begin week two of the Major League Baseball season. And of course, the Yankees off to a fantastic start after sweeping the Giants 3-0 as we continue to get things going this year. Chat, hope everybody is doing well and had a fantastic weekend, and wishing you all a fantastic start to this week. As always, this is the Morning Yankee Show. Programming note off the top, we will be live, of course, this morning, and then we start the Seattle series. We'll definitely be getting into a preview of that towards the end of the show, but reminder, those are all, not all, the first two games are 9:40 first pitches, so I'm thinking, just to be realistic with my schedule, I still have to do, you know, baseball today, game highlights. We'll have watch parties all three games. I think this might be our last Morning Yankee Show until the off day on Thursday, but then we'll also be live Thursday morning, Friday morning, and we'll have watch parties. We're going to be all over the place, y'all. We're going to be all over the place. A lot of, I was about to say the C word, content. Anyways, forget all that. Let's get into the weekend that it was, which was about as ideal of a start as the Yankees could have gotten off to. There's a lot I really want to dive into, but first things first, and as always, we're on podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Click like, subscribe if you're new. We're going to get right into it here because, listen, I know the Yankees have now three straight years in a row swept to begin opening day, but there's a lot different about this one, and that's really what this show is going to be about, in large part because of the bullpen and the Yankee defense. But first things first, before we get into that, let's take a listen to what the final out sounded like as the Yankees wrap things up in San Francisco.
Ground ball to second for Chisholm. He'll go to second for one. Caballero to first. Sweep. With dominant pitching, giving up just one run in three games, have swept the Giants to start the year.
Awesome. So yeah, just one run allowed in 11, one run allowed the entire series. The bullpen scoreless over 11 innings pitch. We're going to dive more into them in just a moment, but the starting pitching was great. We talked about Max Fried and how superb he was on opening day. Will Warren was good enough to do the job on Saturday. Didn't look amazing, but still went 4 1/3, one earned. We got to start with Cam's outing. I mean, what we have here is, we previewed it going into the episode, or into the day, about the long-term expectations for Cam. And ultimately, the trajectory that's been laid out for him has dramatically changed over the last year. And the question going into this year, coming off of the postseason, is, all right, long-term, he's a frontline starter. That's the plan. But what exactly is he going to be for this year? And there's not an absurd amount of pressure on Cam because you have Colin Rodon. But, man, he was on a pitch count, still struck out 8. The fastball looked incredible. The sinker looked disgusting. The cutter was really effective as well. Threw a couple curveballs. And those, I don't know if I'm higher on the curveball than other people are, maybe because his fastballs are so great. But the curveball, when he was throwing, it looked pretty damn good as well, but the main story outside of the overall dominant outing, the sinker was absurd. In the fastball, consistently, effortlessly hitting 99, 100. Cam is a frontline starter right now. And if you look at his starts dating back to last year, or just over the last, whatever, since he made his debut, more and more it's going to become more and more tangible each and every start we make, because we're at 15, 16, 17 starts, including the postseason last year, where he's at a 2.5, and he's well over a strikeout per 9. Every time you watch Cam pitch, he's dominant, and Friday was no different. He was superb. So the starting rotation, we knew going into this year, was going to be a huge benefit to us, more so long-term with Rodon and Cole coming back, but we kept making the argument on here, no, like right now, as we currently speak, before those guys return, this rotation is one of the best in the American League. And that, of course, showed throughout the series. Max Fried, Will Warren, Cam Schuettler all did a fantastic job. The bullpen, as we mentioned, we're going to talk about that. But listen, that was one of the biggest questions going into this season, and still is. It's just a few games. But that's all we really got to go off of. So I'm not going to play the game chat of, don't get your hopes up. Well, I'm just going off what we got. And what we got right now is a three-game sample size where the rotation looked great. The bullpen looked terrific. The defense, we'll get into that. So let's go over more so the offensive side of things right now, because while the last couple games were relatively quiet offensively compared to the first, where they won 7-0. One guy who was not quiet was this man right here.
Nothing in the top of the sixth inning. Runner at second base, nobody out. High drive, left field, right down the line. That ball is gone.
One from Baruchy. Turns on it, sends it in the air to deep left field, and gone. Back-to-back days with a bomb for Judge, and it's 3-1 Yankees.
Aaron, a ton of baseball left to be played, but what does it mean to this team to start 3-0, sweep the series as you're starting things off here on the West Coast heading to Seattle?
That's what you want to do. Like you said, there's still a lot of ball games to play, but we're taking it one game at a time. You know, I know we went out there, and that was one thing the past couple of years we've struggled at is kind of finishing out series and sweeping series. So we just try to make it a point. You know, pregame today, we talked about it. Just, hey, we got to close out a series. And that's what's going to make the difference between, you know, winning division or ending up tied and losing it. So every game matters, and let's take it on to Seattle.
And that, to me, is outside of the bullpen and the defense, the biggest story come out of this week. And what Judge said right there, every game matters. We got to close out series. That's what we're going to make. That's what's going to make a difference between winning the division and losing it. And I thought Randy Wilkins had a fantastic tweet about this. And he, of course, is the director of the Derek Jeter documentary. And he brought up a point that we've been kind of harping on going into this year. One of the advantages of running it back is that this group is battle-tested. This group now can go into this year and know where they went wrong. And in the case of Saturday with the sweep, there's not much more that can get me excited than what Judge just said of, we made it a point pregame to that, guys, we got to finish out the series. That's something that went wrong for us last year. And he specifically brings up, that's something that can make the difference between winning the division and losing it. And yeah, Randy Wilkins had a great tweet yesterday, which I couldn't agree with more. He goes, in reference to what Judge said, he goes, the way 2025 played out is definitely impacting how this team is approaching 2026. You could tell in spring training, they didn't do enough throughout last season to dominate the AL. It looks like they're trying to change that this year. And the Yankees did go on to sweep. And I look at this as something that applies to a series going into Toronto where, all right, yeah, it's the same team. And you can have your complaints about that. But one big-time advantage of having the same squad now year over year, second straight season, is they know where they went wrong last year and they know what they have to correct. And not sweeping series, not finishing things out or losing a game here that could cost you the division down the line, they understand that now. And I think out of everything, not just to mention the other benefits of running it back, and there's, sure, some drawbacks, and a very boring offseason is really the main one, but we're past that now. That's incredibly exciting. To hear Judge acknowledge that, to hear Judge say that, every game matters. And listen, if they didn't win that final game, I guess it doesn't really mean anything, but it's the mindset that Judge just described that is incredibly encouraging. So, generally speaking, that's the most exciting factor of what we witnessed this weekend. Overall, the offense, I mean, there's a lot of guys that stood out. Judge had the two homers, of course. Giancarlo Stanton, how about him? He went 6-for-12 in the series with a homer, 5 singles. It's funny. Like, we always talk about the question marks surrounding Stanton and his health. But at this point right now, he is healthy. Like, what if he plays 130 games? What are the numbers going to look like? If you pull up his last 162 games played, which dates back to 2024, he's hit over 45 home runs. And we know what he did last year in 77 games worth. Off to a fantastic start to begin this season. And I'm curious what the we have a lot of off days still coming up. We were off yesterday, we're off on Thursday. I'm curious if we see Stanton play the entire Seattle series, because remember, it was kind of laid out that 5 out of 7 games Stanton will play. He is going to be managed throughout the regular season, which is totally fine. But yeah, what if we get 130 games worth of Giancarlo Stanton? What are the numbers going to look like? And everything that we've seen over the last really calendar year of him hitting, beyond that, honestly, if you go to the 2024 postseason, I'm running with the hot take of, it was a bold prediction prior to the season, I think we're going to get Giancarlo Stanton's first 40-homer season as a New York Yankee this year. File that into the bold predictions department. But what a start he's off to. 6-for-12 with a homer and 5 singles. Trent Grisham, 2-for-9, but he did have 2 walks, so a 364 OBP in the series. Ben Rice, a two-run double. That was huge on Saturday. Some other notes, Cody Bellinger very quietly, 4-for-11. He had a good series, including a triple on Saturday. Caballero, 3-for-12, just a .250 average, but I thought he looked pretty good at the plate. But anyways, overarching point here is what Judge said about knowing where they went wrong last year. I think that's the most exciting thing we heard from the weekend, soundbite-wise, press conference-wise, quote-wise. That was awesome here. And I think overall, what we watched this weekend, and we're going to get into this more right now as we get into the defensive side of things, it really felt like we were watching a baseball team this weekend, which was awesome. They were just taking care of business. Speaking of taking care of business, the Yankee bullpen took care of business. We mentioned it, 0 runs allowed in 11 innings pitch. David Bednar recorded his 2 first saves of the season. Tim Hill was really good, 2 1/3, scoreless with 3 strikeouts. Fernando Cruz, couple outs, scoreless. Brent Hedrick looked pretty damn good as well, 1 2/3, scoreless. The story, though, is these two guys. And we'll start out with Camilo Duvall, which, far and away, no question, the best Camilo Duvall has ever looked in a Yankee uniform. He pitched on opening night and got the last few outs to close that game out. But on Friday, he looked disgusting. I mean, the sinker was starting in the zone, finishing in the dirt. The cutter looked disgusting. We saw his former Giants teammates reacting to his pitches like, yo, bro, like, what was that? Duvall looked not just the best that we've seen him look as a Yankee. I wouldn't be shocked if he's never looked better in his career than he did on Friday. He was that good. So when it comes to the question marks of the bullpen, we've covered that extensively. Duvall's in his own little category. It's a thing where, all right, he is a mainstay. He's not a guy that can be an if, but he kind of is because of the way it transpired initially after the trade last year. Finished very strong to close out the season. Into October, he looked good. But still, despite like what his role is, which is, yeah, mainstay this bullpen, essentially he is the eighth inning guy. He's the bridge to David Bednar. That can't be a question mark, but he was and still is. It's only, you know, 1 or 2 games, but boy, was that encouraging to see the way he looked this weekend, particularly Friday. Now, as encouraging, if not more, Jake Bird. Jake Bird, 2 1/3 scoreless innings this series with 3 strikeouts. In particular, though, on Saturday in the series finale, 5 outs recorded. And his stuff, the sinker was moving. The fastball was moving. The slider was starting in the lefty batter's box, ending in the righty batter's box. He looked terrific. 5 outs recorded in Saturday's series finale. And I think automatically, with the way the Yankees bullpen is, the spot they're in going into the season, just 2 1/3 successful innings where he looked the way he did. Now he is the bridge to Cruz, Duvall, Bednar. And with what we just talked about with Duvall, granted, you know, got to let the season play out. It still remains to be seen. If we were to just put them in their own little box as guys we feel good about, the back end of the bullpen, all right, Bednar the 9th, Duvall the 8th, Cruz with the 7th, and you got Tim Hill, the lefty matchups when you need them. Jake Bird's now the 6th inning man. Simple as that. Simple as that. He looked terrific. Absolutely terrific. And overall, the Yankee bullpen, 11 scoreless innings. I mean, there's a lot of individual aspects of what we saw this opening weekend between the attitude, the mindset they already talked about, the bullpen. There's different ways you could go with this, but I think far and away, the most encouraging development of opening weekend was the Yankee relievers. And we'll see how they do against Seattle, but so far, so good. And that's how we're watching this entire thing. Like, I understand, you know, I had some people pushing back yesterday when I was in part playing into the joke because I am, you know, considered to be a shill, and that's fine. But when I posted the Judge quote on Yanks Have Instagram yesterday, I was saying, I'm putting the caption, like, trying my hardest not to say this is the year. And, you know, most people are on board because we're all, Yankee fans are pretty excited right now. It's awesome. It's awesome. But some people pushing back like, oh, just wait for the June swoon, bro. And I'm like, I'll deal with the June swoon in June if that were to happen. I'm not going to prepare for disaster. I'm going to enjoy this in the meantime. I'm going to talk about the good stuff. And if it wasn't a good opening weekend, we'd be talking about it just the same. We're going to go game by game, series by series. For now, the Yankees are 3-0, and there was really not any blemish on this opening weekend. Please remind me if there was. Judge struck out 4 times on opening night and then hit 2 homers in the next 2 games. Like, so what went wrong this series? And for that reason, we're just going to ride that high, yo. This was a fantastic opening weekend, and the bullpen was a big part of it. As I mentioned, the most encouraging development of opening weekend, I think, was the Yankee relievers. But a close second, however, the Yankee defense. I think, let me know if you guys disagree with this, but I think this was the best series of defense the Yankees have played in the Judge era, honestly. And on that note, this is more definitive in my opinion, because you know you can forget some series. I'm sure there was times where the Yankees have looked good defensively. And we've talked about this is not new where the fundamentals have been corrected. This started it after the trade deadline last year. There was a lot of talk of the fundamentals, the not knowing how to play baseball, the sloppy base running even, whatever it may be. And that was valid. The Yankees have had issues with that for a long time. In the beginning of last year, no exception. The second half, though, was. After the deadline, and just as the year went on, the last couple months of the season, and now into this year, clearly, the Yankees have really shored up the fundamentals and the overall defense. And that gets me to this. I think, no doubt about it, the best defensive team we've had since Judge has been here. And it, you can go through a lot of it. And the most promising thing was, and I'm showing some video here, Jazz, by the way, individually had some really nice plays over the weekend, but Ben Rice, not only did the scoops, did he do a great job with those this weekend, but he really just had a good feel for the position at first base. I thought that was the most promising thing defensively, but also Caballero and Jazz were smooth as butter. And, we had four double plays turned on Saturday, and they were crucial double plays. Double plays that required a very quick turn at shortstop. And you got to wonder, and I'm not one of those like Anthony Volpe haters. I wish for him to do well, as I do every single Yankee. He does well, we do well. End of story. But how can you not pose a question of, does Volpe make those plays? And while I'm not going to get optimistic about Volpe's bat post-shoulder surgery, because we've seen Volpe be bad with a bum shoulder, we've seen him be bad offensively without a bum shoulder. Defensively, though, I would like to think I can kind of hold that hope he can get back to what he was in 2024, which was truly elite. That we'll deal with when he returns in a few weeks, whenever that may be. But Jazz and Caballero up the middle, that was the best looking middle infield combo I've seen the Yankees display in years. And again, I don't know if those double plays get turned if Volpe is the shortstop. We mentioned Jazz, some great individual plays by him. And yeah, Ben Rice, the scoops. I've been posting my stream reaction highlights, and the first play in the opening night game was a near double play. It was, and it was just they got the force out at second base, but Ben Rice made an incredible scoop at first, and I just started freaking out because I was like, yo, that's awesome. And then as we see the series go on, he made a couple other scoops, but also, again, just looked so comfortable at the position. That one double play he turned where it was a ground ball to first base, he fielded it, and it kind of did a little, not jump throw, but just off balance, laser set, not a laser, but just a good strong throw to second. Comes back, turned for a double play. Between that, and there was also another double play on Saturday where it was Caballero had to make a quick turn. So the throw was a little bit offline, but Ben Rice snags it, keeps his foot in the bag. He looked like a first baseman this series. And I'm in the mindset going into this year, I thought like some of the discourse over Ben Rice was very overblown. You guys know I love Mike Francesa, I listen to him all the time. He goes on about how the Yankees have too many DHs, and they'll put Jason Dominguez in that category, completely fair, by the way. I'm not sure if anybody saw it, but Jason in a AAA yesterday had a pretty rough outing in left field, missed a ball. It's crazy that, whatever. I don't apply Ben Rice in that category, though. I don't look at him as a DH. I didn't think he was that bad at first base. Definitely room for improvement. And Boone talked about that. Like, listen, it's not a thing where he came up a first baseman and then started catching and split time between the two. Like, no, he came up a catcher, and it was pretty much like last year, 2024 into last year, where he truly became a first baseman that could dedicate his craft to particularly that. And when it comes to Ben Rice, I don't get into the whole cliche hard worker, like blah, 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 blah. But everything that we've seen from this dude is a very quick ascension into being great. He was a low-round draft pick, not coveted really whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, onto the Yankees' radar, onto baseball's radar, with incredible seasons in the minor leagues, obviously what he did last year offensively, he's shown an ability to ascend quickly. And small sample size, I know, but this is all we've got to work with, is these three games, he looked damn good at first base. Very comfortable at first base. So that is a W. Defensively, I think that probably is the biggest story. But again, Caballero and Jazz up the middle. I mean, Volpe's coming back. He's going to get some run. And a lot of what Caballero is going to be this year in terms of fighting the job for Volpe is going to be offensively. And I thought Caballero actually looked pretty good in the, not that's a hot take, but he only hit 250, but the RBI single. And I just think his bats looked pretty good over the weekend. But offensively, that's going to be a big factor in this whole shortstop conversation is what does Caballero do with the bat? Up the middle, though, man. I mean, Caballero and Jazz just looked like that. That was a double play combo right there. That was a shortstop and a second baseman going to work. So, yeah, just going back to what I said before, it felt like we watched a baseball team this weekend. And my overall thought, I think as I talk about it more and more, no doubt about it, the best defensive team that Aaron Judge has had, the best defensive series I think the Yankees have played in the Judge era. And watching it unfold, this is not the same Yankees as a few years ago. It's just not. We've had that conversation about 2025 or 2024. But if we really want to get into it, man, I don't know how we endured watching, take like the 2021 team or 2023. And I'm not just talking about like the sloppy defense, but that's a big part of it. The lack of balance, the excessive strikeouts. I mean, we'll still have that conversation right now about too many strikeouts. And you guys know I think there's a two-strike approach to be applied to some hitters, Jazz being one of them. And we'll see how that goes this year. But I'm just thinking of like the Luke Voit, Gary Sanchez days, the Gleyber Torres playing shortstop days, all the things that we were watching this baseball team put on the field for a couple years. Not even talking about last. Forget last year. Forget 2024. And 2024 wasn't a good defensive team either, but it was just different. A few years ago, it was just like, I liked all these guys. Gary was my dude. I loved Luke Voit. But just kind of using those two as examples, it was just like, we were just a team full of sluggers and nothing else. Nothing else. Team full of sluggers with a good bullpen. That was what the Yankees were years ago. What we watched this weekend was a team that played good defense, ran the bases well, looked smart. They looked smart. Like the Yankees looked like they knew what they were doing this weekend. They looked like a team where, say you introduce somebody brand new to the game that had no idea about what we've been, I keep saying enduring, but like this is the dark ages of the Yankee era. Unfortunately, that's right when I started watching. We haven't won a World Series. But say you brought in a fresh set of eyes and just said, we're going to watch opening weekend together. We're going to watch the New York Yankees together. And all they knew was like the general thoughts with the New York Yankees, that they're winners, that they're great. I didn't know how the last 16 years or so have gone. They just look at the Yankees as perennial winners, and they're the New York Yankees. This was a series that represents that. You turn the TV on, watch the Yankees. This outside the offense the last couple of games, which, whatever, it's fine. If it continues to be a thing where, you know, some issues with situational hitting, blah, 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 which wasn't a crazy issue, but, you know, the last couple of games they didn't score all that much. We'll let that play out and see how it goes, which I don't think is going to be an issue. That's why I say that, and I don't really care. But they looked like a baseball team this weekend, and if you just watch with somebody that didn't know any better, they would look at that team that we saw, this Yankee team this weekend, and be like, that's the Yankees. They look like they know what they're doing. They look like, I don't want to compare too much to the Giants. I think that's its own conversation for Giants Avenue, if there is one to have. Despite the final scores being close the last couple games, ultimately, the body of work from the series, the Yankees outclassed the Giants. This was a series where I was proud to be a fan of the Yankees. And that didn't come via hella home runs, which is no problem. I want hella home runs. Home runs are good. But man, we were watching baseball this week, and I think it's kind of what I'm getting at. And that was awesome. That was awesome. The Caballero thing's really going to be interesting because, again, if you disagree with me, word up. I totally support it. And please, disagree with me on anything. Let me know where you guys do feel differently. But I just wonder, man, does Volpe turn those double plays? I really don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, it was so quick, Caballero. It was just like that. That looked like a shortstop. He looked like a shortstop. And Jazz is a damn good second baseman. I'll get on him from time to time. And because he's so good, I was joking the other day. It's like, man, anytime I'm dissing Jazz, it's really a compliment because I get mad because he's so talented. But also, when I'm complimenting Jazz, a lot of times it'll turn into a diss because I'm like, he could be so much better. We saw a lot of like foolish mistakes last year. Times where, even though he's a great second baseman, 8 outs above average, which was the best in baseball at the position last year, we know, like, he'll make a silly mistake here and there. There's times where I bring the Boston series example where he made a terrific play. And there was no issue with this because the ball didn't get away. But the great play Jazz made was stopping that Yoshida ball from going up the middle, and it would have scored like the go-ahead or tying run or whatever it was. He should have just held on the ball. He threw it to first. Fortunately, nothing bad happened. But it's like stuff like that. Like, Jazz is so talented. He stopped the ball with a great lunging stop. God forbid that ball that he threw to first, which he shouldn't have, gets away. We could have lost that series. It's like little things like that. I hope this year Jazz doesn't throw the ball in that case. But he is absurd, and he had some great defensive plays. Also, off topic, but a slight comment to Jazz. We'll get into ABS right now, which, you know, let's do that as I make this first initial point. There was a call that I really thought Jazz was going to tap the helmet right away, and he was somebody I and other Yankee fans were kind of worried about a little bit with ABS this year, that he would just be tapping nonstop, relentlessly tapping and challenging. There was a call this week that was borderline. I really thought he was going to, and he didn't. And that was a good sign. It was like, I always feel weird complimenting people for like maturity, because I know it feels weird to come from me. Although I'm growing up too, folks. That was a sign of maturity from Jazz, and I liked it. Anyways, speaking of ABS, let's talk about this from a general perspective. I, for those who don't know, my mindset about ABS is I want umpires to be held accountable. I want calls to be correct. I was not too excited for ABS, especially as we went through spring training. I thought, oh, this is going to be so tedious. And the actual way of going about correcting these umpires being ABS, I was not too much of a fan. I wanted to just be, and I still to a degree feel this way, but my thought going into the season was, I'd rather just be an automated zone 24/7. Umpires, yeah, they still keep their job. They got to call plays at the plate. But what it, to me would be is, all right, you have your electronic zone. If it's a strike, the umpire gets a buzz in his pocket. Strike, no buzz, not a strike, and that's that. It's like forever, always, indefinitely implemented ABS. Not a challenge system, it's just the zone is called electronically. That's what I wanted. And I still think that kind of makes sense. I'll tell you, though, man. Granted, the Yankees were terrific, so I'm sure I'm biased right now. They went 5 for 6 in ABS challenges. I thought this was a massive W. Let's just talk from the baseball perspective. I mean, one, it was quick. I think the T-Mobile advertising with it is pretty gross. Not gross. It's just like, not to be a, you know, tough guy, it's nothing to do with that. Like, T-Mobile's pink just looks weird seeing it nonstop in a baseball broadcast. That's whatever. Who cares? It was quick. It was within a few seconds. And it actually did have some, like, added some broadcast, like, watch value to it. It was intense waiting for a call to be overturned. And there was times where it went against the Yankees too, but many instances where we succeeded in it. You know, you had, let's see, the Trent Grisham being rung up on a call outside the zone. He challenged, and then that was overturned. And then later, Bellinger singled. Ben Rice had the two-run double. Friday's game, we know that Judge had, I think I have video of it. Yeah, Judge had the strike call called low, classic, and then he challenges. That gets overturned. Later hits the two-run go-ahead homer. This is, across baseball, a massive win. And there were a lot of cool clips going around where, you know, the ballpark, the fan bases were getting involved in ABS and, like, kind of taunting the umpire. I mean, it definitely adds, again, like, what's the word, broadcast value, whatever it may be. That's awesome. You're getting calls correct. I thought ABS was a massive W. Now, when it comes to the Yankees in particular, Boone has been really adamant that we're going to go to work with this. And the Yankees are set up to possibly, I'd say, succeed more than any other team in baseball. Because last year, no team chased fewer pitches outside the zone last year than the Yankees. And by the way, Austin Wells, that's another benefit. I mean, I think in general, we're going to benefit because I don't think anybody really knows the zone as well as we do or better than we do. That's talking like from a batter's box perspective. But Austin Wells, he was cooking this weekend. And he's somebody that, kind of guessing here, but based off what we saw this weekend from him, he did great. But just, you know, his framing, his ability behind the plate, safe to assume Austin Wells knows the zone pretty well. That's going to be a massive benefit. Boone also talked about Ascara being really good in that regard as well. But I like what Boone has said about this. And this is a quote from him. He goes, I feel like our team makeup should lend itself to this being really good for us, an advantage for us. That's not a given. We got to continue to evolve with it, learn from it, and hopefully that's something that is a strength. That's my expectation. And, you know, Judge talked about it, kind of just joking around, but he was like, man, I thought maybe in spring training, it was getting overblown. We were having too many meetings about this. Boone kept harping on when to challenge, what to challenge, making sure guys are as aware of a zone as they should be, and kind of testing guys and like doing like running through simulations of, oh, you thought this was a strike? No, it wasn't. Like, this was a strike. You're really good at knowing this pitch is hitting the zone from the inside part of the box, or up here, up there, different quadrants of the zone. Guys might be better in one area than another. The Yankees really, really prepared for ABS and kind of just like went to school this spring training on it. Between that, between where we know they're at discipline-wise to begin with, we're in a new era right now, yo. And that's a general statement for baseball, period. But just take Judge. I mean, it was crazy to actually watch it play out. And I think that's really what I had to do, and not counting spring training, because it was so just like, it was kind of just getting a feel for it. But as simple as just watching a low strike called on Aaron Judge get overturned. I mean, what kind of a difference is that going to make for us this year? Trent Grisham and his challenge. I mean, his eye is superb. Grisham arguably has the best eye on the team. Might even be better than Aaron Judge's, honestly. So across baseball, this is going to be a difference maker, obviously. I mean, it was a difference maker in the outcome possibly of two games already, and therefore the season. These are season-changing challenges that we saw this weekend, and it wasn't a bore watching. It was quick. It was exciting, actually. So that's all well and good. And then you think about long-term, like, what is this actually going to mean? I mean, we'll see, but so far, I'm a fan of ABS. I think majority of fans are on board with ABS. And got to credit baseball a little bit, man. You guys know how I feel about the pitch clock. Well, I don't really like it. I miss when games where, like, I love sitting down. No, I got a 3.5-hour game. The pace of play is all well and good, but that's fine. That's just me. This is one of those situations where, forget what Dan Rourke says, like, I acknowledge this is the pitch clock was a massive W for baseball. I don't like the extra inning runner rule in the regular season. And I don't think that's as definitively like a W for Major League Baseball as the pitch clock is. But I understand what they're doing, and ABS applies to the same logic. It's like they make changes, yo. Like they really are. And I'll tell you, Rob Manfred's in a good spot as commissioner. He has done a lot for the game. And he doesn't have much to live up to coming off of Bud Selig, Bud Selig's probably the one dude that, like, I used to always get on Dan Rourke Sr., kind of just jokingly so. You know, I just know I joke about how, you know, he's classic old dude, watches his Fox News, hates Democrats, like that kind of guy. Not getting into politics here, but like in a meme way, like that's just how my dad is. And I used to always like joke with him, like, the president walks in here, you shake his hand, I don't care who it is, blah, blah. And he would like go at me and be like, BS. And it's funny, he completely is hypocritical of that logic now. But anyways, Bud Selig's probably the one person I would not shake their hand. I do not like Bud Selig. A lot of it to do with A-Rod. But Bud Selig was, with all due respect to the league, Bud Selig was a disgrace of a commissioner. Rob Manfred didn't get off to a great start. In terms of my feelings towards him, he initially was very much in that same Bud Selig realm of when they went after A-Rod, which A-Rod was 100% guilty, but MLB also, like, they wanted to get A-Rod so bad, and they did things that no professional, self-respecting organization should ever do. They wanted to nail A-Rod, and they made sure that they would for things outside of even their jurisdiction, honestly. But with that said, Rob Manfred really pissed me off the Astros stuff. We're years removed from that now. I'm not over it, but that's not Rob Manfred's problem. I'm also not over it in terms of I'll always hate the Astros, and that's fine. It's good to hate teams. Since then, though, since the piece of metal conversation or piece of metal quote that he had after that whole thing, I don't know what the thoughts were on commissioners like pre-C-League, but I have to imagine the last few years for Rob Manfred are some of the most successful years a commissioner in baseball has ever had, and maybe across throughout professionals, the four major professional sports. The pitch clock and then now this with ABS. I mean, I was not that big about ABS. Like, I thought it was not going to – I was saying during spring training, off the record, kind of just, you know, when I didn't like it that much, I was saying, like, I don't think it's going to last. I don't think it's going to last, and I didn't like it. And I get MLB the Show, and I turn it off instantly. I'm like, oh, this is a gimmick. I turn off the extra inning rule. I turn off a bunch of shit that's like these new rules that I personally don't like, ABS being one of them. Yesterday, I'm playing MLB the Show. I was like, I'm turning ABS on, yeah. Like, I liked it. I ended up turning it back off because I don't think it's that fun to play with in the game. But I'm on board with ABS is my point here. And the Yankees severely benefit from it. It was pivotal, the series. It really, really was. So I kind of changed my tune a little bit. I like ABS. And maybe that is the way to go rather than just a completely automated strike zone. So Yeah. Shout out ABS, man. Shout out ABS. So, the Yankees, 3-0 to begin the season. What a fantastic opening series that it was. Now, we put that behind us. We had off on Sunday. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. But here we are. Week two begins for the Yankees. And week two will begin with a three-game set against the Seattle Mariners, which gets going tonight. Let me pull up this little series preview. So, for those listening on audio only, we are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tonight's game, Monday and Tuesday, 9:40 p.m. Eastern starts. Good news. All these games are on Yes, thank goodness. And let's real quick go through some pitching matchups here, and then we'll get into more of a preview. But tonight, Ryan Weathers, Yankee debut. He'll be going up against Luis Castillo, who makes his 2026 debut. Tomorrow night, Max Fried on Tuesday. He'll be making his second start of the year following his opening day really good outing. Logan Gilbert will be going for the Mariners. Wednesday afternoon, that's a 4:10 start. Cam Schlittler, second start of the year versus George Kirby, making his second start of the year. So Monday night, 9:40, Tuesday night, 9:40, Wednesday, series finale, 4:10 p.m. Eastern. Thursday, we're off. Friday is the home opener at 1:35 against the Mariners. Against the Marlins. Anyways, yeah, week two begins. We get going tonight. We will have a watch party for all of this. And the Mariners, they lost 2 out of 3 against the Guardians. They did take the W last night on Sunday Night Baseball, which was the NBC/Peacock debut of Sunday Night Baseball. Thank goodness. No more ESPN. But this will be an interesting one. I always call everything like a big series, and there's an easy lane to do so with this. I mean, you could very well argue this is going to be an ALCS preview, which, just saying that out loud now, I certainly will be running with that narrative going into tonight. That's just how I like to watch games. But the Mariners, we know, they had a crazy offseason, and they're coming off an ALCS appearance last year and a damn good team. Their rotation's really good. We know what they got at the back end of the bullpen with Andrés Muñoz. They added Brendan Donovan. He has two home runs now in his first few games. And they brought Naylor back. I'm trying to think if there was another move as well. But the Mariners are in the group of, you got, for the AL favorites, you got the Yanks, you got the Blue Jays, the Tigers. Well, I think the Tigers out of these four teams we're mentioning, and the Mariners in there as well, are probably number four on that list. Right now, obviously bias applied, I have the Yankees as number one, because I really was putting the Yankees and the Blue Jays, and I kept saying, I think the Yankees are better than the Blue Jays, but until further notice, out of respect for what they did to us last year, I'll put the Blue Jays at number one, Yankees at number two. But what I always said is, the second the Yankees go 1-0, it's a new year. Nobody cares about 2025. I give myself free will to say, I personally think the Yankees are the best team in the best team in the American League. The Mariners, though, are a close second, and they're 100% in the conversation. I imagine a Mariners fan would argue they're the best team in the American League. 100% fair. So, point is, every game's huge. Every series is huge. This right here, though, this should be a fun one. Simple as this. ALCS preview. How the Yankees look coming off a fantastic opening against the Giants. A team that is, we'll see how the year plays out for them, but I just don't think it's going to be a great year for San Francisco. I mean, I thought they had 81 and 81 written all over them. That might be best case scenario. And I just think there's something off-putting with Tony Vitello a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. It was a great series for the Yankees, though. Now they got to follow it up and do it in Seattle. I assume they will, don't get annoyed at me saying this, but, you know, just kind of playing the way a lot of you guys will, which is preparing for disappointment. Nah, you figure the Yankees will lose like one of these games, and more so if they do, that's okay. Simple as this, win the damn series. And it's going to start tonight with, you know, Ryan Weathers versus Luis Castillo. By the way, some numbers off Castillo, who had a good year last year. He was kind of starting to be hit or miss with him in Seattle. You know, he got traded from the Reds, was really good, frontline starter and a true ace. Then he had like a down year or two. Last year was pretty damn good, though. 11-8, 3.54 ERA. Some Yankee numbers, lifetime off Castillo. Judge, 4-for-10 with a homer. Stanton, 1-for-6 with a homer. Ben Rice, 1-for-3 with a double. Trent Grisham, 0-for-11. Cody Bellinger, 5-for-22. That's a .227 average. Now, this is interesting. I don't think so, and I don't even know where I would lean with this, but obviously Castillo is a righty, so you play McMahon. I do want to acknowledge this stat. Ryan McMahon is 1-for-11 in his career off Luis Castillo. I remember Rosario was 7-for-20 with a homer. So Rosario was hitting .350 off Castillo in his career. McMahon, small sample size for both. I mean, McMahon especially, 1-for-11. I think McMahon should play tonight. And I think he will, but just keep that in mind. Rosario's really done well against Castillo. Anyways, Ryan Weathers with his Yankee debut, you know, he looked really good at times in spring training. He also had a couple clunkers here and there. But we know about his upside. A lot of the conversation regarding his future is health-based, and right now he's healthy. How will he look in game one? After that, we're set up nicely. Freed and Cam, as are the Mariners with Logan Gilbert and George Kirby, but they're one of the best teams in the American League. We're one of the best teams in the American League. And tonight begins what could possibly be an ALCS preview. I'm stoked for that on its own, but also the Mariners are just a good team. I'm excited to face a good team. And I want the Yankees to continue looking great on defense. I mean, that is awesome, the way they look defensively this series against the Giants. The bullpen will be a question really the entire season. Nothing is set in stone now that Jake Bird is just going to be good or that Camilo Duvall is for sure locked down in the eighth inning. You feel pretty good about it. Want that to continue. Offensively, it would be nice to, you know, really get things going there as well. But bottom line is, this should be a fun series. And it gets going tonight, 9:40 Eastern on YES. All three games are on YES. We'll have a watch party. We'll be live for all these games. We'll start up tonight probably on the main channel. Reminder, all the watch parties are still on the main channel. We'll get going probably around like 9:30. We'll start our watch party tonight. So, week two of the Major League Baseball season begins. That's going to do it for this episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Reminder, we will, because of the late night starts, and I still have, you know, a lot of other responsibilities with, you know, baseball today that I got to make sure I'm all ready to go for. We probably won't have a Morning Yankee Show until after the conclusion of the Mariners series, so we'll be live Thursday morning, but we'll also be live Friday morning as well. So we'll keep doing these shows. I freaking love doing these shows, so don't worry, not going anywhere. We just might have a couple-day break between now and the conclusion of the Mariners series. Anyways, if you haven't already, click like on the stream. Reminder, these are also available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That's going to do it for this episode. Hope you guys have a fantastic start to your week, and I'll see you later tonight for Yankees-Mariners Game 1. Again, watch party probably starting right around 9:30 on the main channel. First pitch at 9:40. Ryan Weathers versus Luis Castillo. So should be fun. Thank you guys so much for being here. I will see you next time. Have a great Monday, and I'll see you later. Let's go, Yanks.